Good morning, everybody. Yeah, I always find it restrictive when I've got to stay behind the pulpit, but I understand that the cameras don't allow me to wander amongst you, because I like to see the white of your eyes, and I like to fire. I said to Pastor Bethwyn this morning, this is not the two services, just one, so what time does this service finish? And she says, you're preaching. That was it. She didn't give me a finishing time. So are you all right till about 3 o'clock this afternoon? Some of the looks on your faces then. Oh, I'm only joking. You're all right. We'll only be an hour and a half. I'm going to read a scripture from Mark chapter 5 that you'll know very well. It's a beautiful scripture. And then I'm going to speak from this. And so it's Mark chapter 5 and verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him. Bear that in mind, a large crowd. That means far more than what the people are now. There was hundreds and hundreds gathered around him. It was a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. Bear that in mind. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, she told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. This miracle that Jesus did, I've probably preached on this more than any other. I've been preaching now for 64 years. I've been preaching the gospel for 64 years. And in those 64 years, I've probably preached on this more than any other. And I don't make any apologies for preaching on it. If some of you come with me from Armadale days, you would have heard me preach this maybe two or three times. I make no apologies. What was that?
And Geraldton too.
Yes, Geraldton too. You will have heard me preach this a number of times. But I feel led by the Spirit. I'm glad you prayed the way you did. I really feel a strong anointing here today that God wants to really do something wonderful, not in the lives of one or two people, but in all of us, everybody that's here. And so, you know, we're looking at this year. A lot of people are looking with expectation, a lot of people with anticipation, a lot of people are hoping for something better. We live in a strange world, a mad world, a sad world, a hurting world, and people are looking for something. And there's all sorts of conspiracy theories floating around. Don't get caught up with conspiracy theories. Just get caught up with the Word of God. Amen. Bigger amen than that, please. Amen. Amen. Forget your conspiracy theories. This is what's going to happen, what the Word of God says. And people are looking, wanting, seeking in this mad world in which we live. And If I was to ask you, and most of you here are Christians, some of you may not be, but most of you are. And if I was to say to you, do you believe God can do miracles? You'd say yes without any problems. And if I said to you, do you believe God can heal you? You'd say yes without any problem. Do you believe that God can do anything? And you say yes. With God, all things are possible. You'd say it. All of you would. But if I'm talking to you personally, and I say to you, do you believe God's going to heal you today? Or that miracle that you've been praying about for such a long time, do you think you're going to get it today? Now, don't get upset when I say this, but most of you may not say it out loud, because you'll say to me out loud, I believe that God can do all things. I believe in the God of the impossible. But in your heart, a lot of you will thinking, I do believe God can heal everybody, but me, I think that's improbable. Not impossible, but improbable. Every person here believes that God can do he can do the impossible. But what about doing it for you? Well, that's improbable. And the reason why it's improbable, because there's lots of reasons that you've drawn up in your mind as to why God hasn't healed you or performed the miracle in your life, or perhaps is not going to. It's not that you don't believe in the God of the impossible, because you do. You're Christian. You believe the word. But when you personalize it, that's a different matter altogether. I believe God can heal you. I'm not too sure whether he'll heal me. I'll pray for your healing, but I'm not too sure whether he'll heal. It's improbable that I'll get healed. Now, this woman that we've just read about, she was a Jewess, and she was bleeding, and the bleeding didn't stop. And along with the Jewish law, and there was a law concerning this, she had to go and show herself to the priests and get prayed for and go through various rituals. But also attached with this was a lot of superstition as well. A lot of Jews attached superstitions to the laws of God and took them a lot further than what God meant them to be. And in this case, it was the same with a woman bleeding. This woman, we don't know anything about her. We don't know her name. Bear that in mind. There's two people here that need a miracle in what I've read. There's Jairus. He's mentioned. He's a ruler of the synagogue. His daughter is very sick, on the verge of death. He needs a miracle. There's a woman here in the crowd who's bleeding, and she needs a miracle, but we don't know her name. Although I've preached about her more than any other, I don't know her name. But as I've told you before, when I get to heaven, I'm going to find her. And when I find her, I'm going to give her a hug for about 1,000 years. Because this woman, many, many times, has been instrumental in causing my faith to rise. Because I'm a man, ordinary, like any of you, and there's times when I have difficult times. There's times when my faith starts to fall. There's times when I begin to wonder. There's times when I think, it's not impossible for God, but it's improbable in my case. You know, I have those thoughts. And this woman is an inspiration to me, because it said she'd been bleeding for about 12 years. Because she'd been bleeding for 12 years, she would have shown herself to the priest and had all the prayer that was necessary. Nothing happened. Then she went to doctors. Nothing happened. It said she spent all that she had on doctors, and instead of getting better, she got worse. So we're not looking 6 months, we're not looking a year or 2 years, we're looking 12 years. We're looking at 12 years at a woman that's been bleeding. And that means that her energy and her strength has been sapped. She's anemic, she's would have fainting bouts regularly. She couldn't do a full day's work at all. She is sick and ill. And then on top of this, because of this type of sickness that she had, she was not allowed out in public. She was quarantined. Those people who had diseases like this were quarantined. Not for 2 weeks. She'd been quarantined for 12 years. Not allowed out in the public. Not allowed to go to parties. Not allowed to go to weddings. Not allowed to celebrate things with crowds of other people. To be on her own. Not allowed to do shopping when there's a lot of people around. It would have been terrible for this woman. 12 years, she's bleeding. There's no cure. She's prayed. She's done all the right things. She's read the word. She knows what to do. She's done all those things. She's a Jewish woman. And she's still not healed. After 12 years, you would feel, if you was to ask her, do you think God is a God of the impossible? She's a Jewess, knows the Lord. She says, yes, he is. Do you think he will heal you? Ah, that's improbable. I've been praying for 12 years and nothing has happened. I want to tell you that if I ever see in the Bible anybody who's a candidate to become bitter, it's this woman. She could have become a very bitter woman because she's done probably all the right things and nothing has happened. Not only has it not happened, it's grown worse. And I know that some of you people here have been praying for a miracle for a long, long time. Some of you have pleaded with God. Some of you have knocked on heaven's door. Some of you tried your hardest. And you've been, when visitors come through and speakers come through and evangelists, you get prayed for and nothing seems to happen. And you find that if you're not careful, you could become cynical. You could become bitter. I remember once preaching in a church in Forestfield, and after I preached a faith message, I just went to come off the platform, and a man immediately came down to the front, quite a good looking guy, well dressed guy. He came, stood very close to my face. He said, I just want you to know that everything you've preached is a load of rubbish. He says, you'll find out one day that life isn't like you're talking about. Life is tough, life is hard, and you've just preached a whole load of rubbish. That's what he said. He walked off. He didn't give me a chance to talk to him at all. He says, you'll learn one day. This was many years ago. You'll learn. Well, that was many years ago. Guess what? I'm still preaching it. I still believe it. I still got the joy of the Lord in my heart and the peace of God that passes all understanding. I still believe in the miracle power of God, no matter what. But I know we live in a strange world. I know we live in a fearful world. I know we live in a world that wants to keep on coming and getting a piece of your mind. If you're a Christian, this world, the devil who controls this world, wants a piece of your mind. He wants to get your faith and just rip it from you. He wants to make you discouraged. He wants to drag you down. He wants to rob you of your joy and your peace. He wants to take from you that thought of the God of the miraculous. He wants to get you to a place where your faith is so weak. That's what the devil wants to do. And it's not just you, it's all Christians all around the world. We're under an attack. There's nothing out there that encourages us. You can look at the television 24/7. Nothing on there will encourage your faith. Nothing. You can read the newspapers, magazines. Nothing will encourage your faith. You can go and see people for counsel and help. Your faith is not encouraged by this world. Your faith is not encouraged. As a Christian, you are not encouraged to have faith in God. As a Christian, you are encouraged to doubt God, to doubt his existence, to doubt his creative abilities. You are encouraged to turn your back on God. That's what this world does. And so right now, there may be some people, Christians here, who are feeling a bit cynical. You've heard a lot of sermons, a lot of preaching. Nothing's happened in your life. Nothing's happened to you. Well, let's take a look at this woman, shall we? 13 years in quarantine. Worse than she ever was. Weak. Feeble. Frail. And somehow, and I don't know how, but somehow, she says within herself, if I can touch Jesus, I'll be healed. So she has heard about him. Somebody has told her that Jesus is around and that he's a miracle worker. And somebody's probably told her that he's the Messiah. And I don't know where, but somehow, some way, faith started to rise within her. Not bitterness, not cynicism. Maybe somebody even said to her, why don't you let Jesus pray for you? And in her mind, perhaps the devil would have said to her, don't be stupid. You've been 12 years like this. God wants you to be like this. You wouldn't be like it if it wasn't for God. He wants you to be like this. All those sort of negative thoughts would have hit her. But somehow, some way, something started to rise within her. This woman who's ill, weak, but refuses to become bitter. Glory to God. Do you know what I don't like to meet? Bitter Christians. And I've met a few. Actually, I've met a lot. The worst advertisement for Jesus that you can get. Now, you may say to me, it's all right, you're talking like that. You haven't got going on in your life what I've got in mind. You may be saying that. Well, I don't know what's going on in your life, but can I say this to you? You don't know what's going on in my life neither. And can I just say this? I refuse to be bitter. Now, some of you people here have known me for donkey's years. I mean, we go way back. And you've heard me preach, some of you, many, many times, and no one has ever, ever heard me preach out of bitterness. You've never heard me preach out of bitterness. You've never heard me come to you with such a message that's disappointing, downcasting, putting doubt and fear in your mind. You've never heard me. I refuse to do that because I believe bitterness is a very bad thing. Yeah. To Christians I'm talking about. I can understand the world being bitter. I can. Hey, come on, I can. Some of my family that's not saved and their lives are a mess, I can understand them being bitter. I can understand it. But I'm born again. I'm saved. We've sung some beautiful songs this morning. And if you took notice of the words you've sung, you can't be bitter. You might be under pressure. You might be even a bit cast down. You might be under a burden, but you don't get bitter. Don't get discouraged. Don't do that. Don't get distressed. This woman, somehow, some way, she said, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. Now, it says here, she thought, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. But in another gospel, it says she actually said it. So she actually said with her lips, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. And so she came. Listen to this. She came out of her house. She broke quarantine. She broke quarantine. She has. She's going to find out where Jesus is. And when she gets there, what does she see? Listen. She doesn't see Jesus. What does she see? A large crowd. Can't see him. He's in the middle of a large crowd. And what is this crowd doing? Pressing against him. Why were all those people there? Most of them were there because they were inquisitive. They were spectators. I'll prove that to you a bit later. They were just spectators. They'd come out to see him. They'd heard about him. They've come to see him. This woman, she sees this crowd and she's got to get a Jesus. Wow. What would you do? Most of you would think, what's the point? Turn around and go home. Most of you would say, as soon as I get my hopes up, bang. I can't get through that crowd. I can't possibly get through that crowd. The interesting thing is that when Jairus came, he was a ruler of the synagogue. Do you know Jairus didn't have to push through the crowd? When the people saw him, they knew him. They would have just stepped to one side and he walked past them up to Jesus because he was top-notch man, big guy. They knew him. This woman, most of the people, they don't even know her. So she wants to see Jesus. They're not going to stand to one side for her to go through. They don't know her. They want to see Jesus. They're there are spectators. They're there because they're inquisitive. This woman is there saying, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. So do you know what she started to do? Amazing. Remember, she's broken with quarantine. Now she's going to break not only with quarantine, but with protocol. She's starting to push these people to one side. Think about it. She's tired. She's weak. She's probably almost in a fainting. She's pushing the people to one side, pushing them, determined. And she's not talking to them. She's talking to herself. She's saying, if I could touch him, if I can touch him, if I could touch him, I'll be healed. She's saying it as she'd go. These people would be looking at her. She's pushing her way through. If I could touch him, I'll be healed. I don't know how long it took her to get there, but before she actually got to him, guess perhaps maybe she was in eyeshot of him. She could just see him, and she could see something was happening, and Jairus was there, and he was really upset and hurting, and he asked Jesus to go heal his daughter. So Jesus says, okay. And I could see Jesus putting his arm around Jairus because he was a broken, his daughter was dying, his heart was broken. And they start to walk away. They're not walking towards the woman, they're walking away from her. What would you have done? Oh, what's the point? There I go again, I'm almost there. Now they're walking. She's got to somehow put in more energy, more thrust to get to him. Because he's starting to walk off. The Bible says that when she got there and she touched the hem of his garment, that means the bottom of his garment, I reckon by that time she was on the floor. I reckon that by that time she was crawling. She was kneeling. She was out. Remember, this is a sick, sick woman. Ill. She's on her knees pushing to try to get there. And the Bible says she touched his garment. Not his leg, his garment. Touched his garment. And immediately she was healed. Boom. And she just disappeared in the crowd. Now, interesting thing happened. Jesus stopped. He felt some virtue flow from him. And he stopped. Now remember, there's a great crowd pressing around him. And he said to the disciples, who touched me? Well, they're all touching him, or trying to. Their hands are reaching out. And they're inquisitive. It's like a famous film star. Do you know what I'm saying? If that day they had their little phones, they'd all be taking pictures of him. Wouldn't they? Do you know what I'm saying? Everybody, under themselves, they would all want selfies with Jesus. Wouldn't they? Come on, that's a world in which we live. They were pressing around him. And he stopped and he says, who touched me? I don't know which disciple it was, but said, what does that say? What do you mean, who touched you, Lord? Everybody's touching you. He said, no, somebody's touched me. And he stopped. Now Jairus is thinking, what is he doing? He's supposed to be coming with me. He stopped. It doesn't tell us how long he was there for, but he was there for a while and he was saying, who touched me? He's looking. Listen, Jesus did not know who touched him. Hear me again. Jesus did not know. The Holy Spirit hadn't told him. The Father hadn't released that word of knowledge to Jesus to say who did it. Here's a woman who's healed because she touched him, and he didn't know she was there. He did not know she was there. The only thing he knew was a touch that was different to all the others that day. Something had happened. So he's standing there, doesn't know who she is. This amazes me. He had his back to her. There are times when we think, God's got to do it all. Lord, I want to be healed. Come on. Where is it? There's times we have to press in. Faith presses in. Faith doesn't run away. Faith doesn't back off. Faith doesn't say it's too hard. Faith doesn't say, well, what is a point? Faith keeps pressing in. I ask you another question. It said there were hundreds, big crowd. How many of those people do you think were ill? At least half of them, if not more. We're talking 2,000 years ago. How many people there had needs, sicknesses, wanted miracles? Pressing around him, touching him. Listen, let me contradict myself. Touching him, but nobody touched him. Come on, because they had a touch of curiosity. They were touching like spectators. This woman was touching out of need. If I can touch him, I'll be healed. I don't know where that came from. That's why I get so encouraged by this miracle. Because there's times when I don't feel worthy. There's times when I don't feel, well, God's going to do it for me. He won't, because I've not lived as I should live. I haven't read the Bible as I should, or I haven't prayed as I should. And all those thoughts go through your mind, which would have gone through her mind. The devil would have kept dropping them in on the way there. Who do you think you are? Doesn't even know your name. You're nobody. You're a misfit. Look at you. You're sick. You've been sick now for 12 years. Obviously, God's not on your side. Obviously, God isn't. You've lost everything. And you, what are you doing? You'll die trying to touch him. But something rose within her. If I can touch him, if I can touch him, if I can touch him. Not if I can touch Peter or Bartholomew or John or Thomas. If I can touch him. I want to touch him. I want to touch him. That's a touch of faith. That's something that God is saying to you today. If you've got that, you're going to get your miracle. Hallelujah. Remember, he didn't know who she was. Now, God would have heard her prayers. God knew who she was. God knew she was there. But his son, walking as a man, didn't know her. Didn't know her. Didn't know her from a bar of soap. Hadn't got a clue who she was. Didn't know anything about her at all. Can I say that the touch of God comes on you, not because you're good, not because you're handsome or good looking, not because you're wealthy or intelligent. The touch of God comes because of faith, and I'll prove that in a moment. So he stopped. He stopped dead in his tracks. Who touched me? He's really wanting to know. And the woman now gets scared. She's frightened now. Have I done something wrong? She's healed. So she comes before him, falls on her knees, and said, it was me. He didn't say to her, what's your name? Because he didn't know it. He didn't say, what's your name? He called her daughter. Because that's what he is. Amen. He's the father. In fact, the Bible tells us the name of Jesus is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. So he can call you daughter. He can call you son. Come on. So Jesus says daughter to her. And another name of Jesus, which I love, is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And a lot of people think that that name, God with us, means that God came to be with us. No. It doesn't mean that in the Hebrew. It means God is with us, or God is on our side. Yes. He's with me. He's on my side. Not just as there was all these people there, but only one had touched him. Can I say that Jesus is Emmanuel? God is saying to us, I am on your side. I'm not on the devil's side, not on the world's side. I'm on your side. I am Emmanuel. I am God with you. I'm not against you. Your sin will draw you away. Your sin will eventually destroy you. But I'm not against you. I love you. I care for you. I'm on your side. So here's this woman looking now at the wonderful counsel of mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I don't think she's got any doubt about that, do you? And here she's looking at him thinking, Emmanuel, God with us. And she's got no doubt about that. She's looking at him. And he says, daughter, listen to this. Listen. Daughter, go in peace. Your faith has made you whole. There's been times in my experience, and I know there has been in a lot of your experience, when you've touched God and you felt you wasn't worthy, but you touched him anyway. And things happened. There's been times when you thought, I'm not worthy. I don't come up to scratch. Well, he's not bothered about whether you're worthy or not, because it's the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us worthy, not you. You're not worthy in your own right. In fact, you're nothing. You're pathetic, actually. Nothing. You're worth absolutely nothing. If the picture's truly told, you're a pain in the neck. If the truth is told, you are nothing. And if you think you're something, do you know what that is? Pride. So that even makes you more nothing. Because you're not nothing. Only God is who counts. And he's not going to heal you because he thinks you're something. Is going to heal you because you believe that he can. Yes. Is it sinking in? Is it sinking? Stay with me. Stay with me. This is so important. She touched him and he said to her, go in peace. Your faith has made you whole. Wow. Then she disappeared into the crowd. She'd gone. Then he turned to Jairus, and as that was happening, some servants of Jairus came. They said to him, trouble the master no longer. Your daughter has died. Can you imagine the heart of Jairus sinking then? Was it possible for Jesus to heal her? Yes. If he'd have come, if we'd have got there in time, she could have been healed. But now, and I don't know where Jairus' faith was. He may have believed in the God of the impossible. But also he doubted it's improbable. Jesus saw his heart sink. She's dead. No more hope left. And he said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe. Is telling Jairus to do what this woman had done. Believe. She believed for a miracle that others would have said was impossible, but she believed. He started then to walk with Jesus to the home. When Jesus got there, already the mourners had stopped. And they used to pay mourners in those days, people to come and cry and moan and groan when somebody's died. He put them all out. Put them all out. And he raised that girl back to life. Hey, that's not impossible for God, but for most of us, we think it would be improbable. So you today need a miracle. And all of you, because you're Christians, would say, it's not impossible. I believe God can do it. But then in your, you wouldn't say it to me, but in your subconscious, you'll think, but highly improbable for me. I've been praying for donkey's years. You know, you understand where I'm coming from? I'm telling you right now, God wants you to touch him. Amen. Don't start looking at your sin or your weakness or your failures. Don't start looking at your past disappointments, because they'll always drag you down. Do you know the past, if you let it, will drag you down? The past will dominate your future if you let it. But don't let it. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Don't become victims of your circumstances. Always stay a product of the cross. Everything I am, everything I have, comes from the cross of Jesus Christ. Everything that's of worth, that's of value. When I go to heaven, I can't take anything of this world with me at all. Not that I want to, because I don't. I just want to take people with me. That's all I want to do. But everything I have in heaven, everything, is a product of the cross. It's because of the cross. I was thinking the other day when Jesus said, you know, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back, take you to be where I am. And often when we're talking to somebody, when they're on their deathbed or very ill, and we talk to them, we say, if the Christians, we say, you're going home now. Have you ever said that to anybody? You're going home, or thought of it, you know, Christians, they've gone home. I was thinking the other day, how true is that, going home? Because home is somewhere where you live. Home is somewhere that you know. Home is somewhere where you belong, where you're attached to. Heaven, I've never been there. Come on. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what my mansion looks like, except I know it's going to be pretty good, better than anything down here. But it's a strange thing when I say, and I still say it, I'm going home. But I'm going home to a place I've never been. That's contradictory, isn't it? Do you understand what I'm saying? Home. But then somebody says, and I like this, home is where the heart is. So that's what, for me, makes it home. Heaven is my home. And we're all going to get there. Some of you are going to go through those gates with blazing glory. Some of you are going to trip through. But you're going to get there. Some of you are going to surprise yourself and think, I made it. Don't look so spiritual. Some of you said, don't look at me so spiritual. A lot of us, when we get to heaven, will be amazed we made it. Because it was a him. Amen? I don't even know how I managed to grow in God from a 15-year-old ratbag kid. Somehow I did. Into my 20s, I looked back, how did that happen? I'm still going on with God. Come on. So what God wants you to do today is touch him. Some of you have been praying for something for years. There's miracles. It's always just around the corner, over the hill. Come on. Don't be a spectator like that crowd. All those sick people in that crowd that day, none of them got healed. Because only one person touched him. Come on. Come on. One person. And if there's only one in this congregation that's going to touch Jesus this morning, you're going to get that healing. You're going to get that miracle answered. I know that because it's what the Bible teaches. And you may be saying to me, oh, come on, John, that's taking it a little bit far, isn't it? Well, listen to what James says. Now, James was the brother of Jesus. He knew Jesus very well and he didn't believe in him at first. So James had been a doubter. Would you agree with that? In fact, they thought he was mad. They went to fetch him out of the house once with him. Come on, so James was a brother of Jesus who didn't believe in him, but now he does. In fact, he becomes a real figure in the church. And this is what he says, and I love this, in James chapter 1. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. I'll just stop there for a minute, shall I? Does anybody here lack wisdom? I heard some yeses then. Does anybody here lack wisdom? Hands up. Well, you shouldn't put your hands up because according to the scripture, you shouldn't lack wisdom. Listen to what it says. Listen. I'm going to show you why you lack wisdom. Listen to this. Because some of you have been saved a long time. So if you don't know this scripture, I'll release you from that. But those of you who know it, listen to what it says. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man or woman should not think they will receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Years ago, because I had a very bad education, shocker. And I have dyslexia, and I was always classed as being a bit of a no gooder. I was just, my family come from a big family, and I was just the bottom of the run. And then I got saved, and I used to still think, oh God, I wish I was intelligent. I wish I could do mathematics. I wish I could do English. I was bottoming everything. And I came across the scripture. And so I kept reading it, and I kept praying to God, God, give me wisdom, give me wisdom. And this went on for about 10 years. Kept praying for wisdom. And then one day, it suddenly clicked. It says, when you ask, don't doubt, but believe. So I thought, well, that's what I've been doing. I keep asking you for something, but not actually receiving it. So I said, God, I remember it, a particular day I prayed, God, give me wisdom. And then I said, and now I believe I have it. If you was to say to me, John, do you have wisdom? I would say, I sure do. Don't look at me like that. It says he gives to all those liberally without finding fault. You're looking at a wise man today. I did not say you're looking at an intelligent man. I did not say you're looking at an eloquent man. But you're looking at a wise man. Because I simply believe the scriptures that God gives me wisdom. And I believe that you too, all of you put your hands up sometime during the day. Say that prayer again. God, give me wisdom. And then start believing it. Never doubt it. Do you understand? This is James who doubted Jesus as a brother. But in later years, he realized that Jesus was the Messiah. And he said, when you ask, you believe that you've received it. And don't be double-minded. Well, this woman broke quarantine, broke protocol, took every bit of effort and energy she had to break through, and she touched him. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God, and she was healed. And he didn't know who she was. She wasn't healed because she was a good looker. She wasn't healed because she had a great figure. She wasn't healed because she was tattooed from top to bottom. She wasn't healed because she had great money in the bank. She wasn't healed for. She was healed because she touched Jesus. She was healed because she touched Jesus. 15 years of age, I touched Jesus when I asked him, when in a church I'd gone in to make a mess of things with a gang of lads, but I went in that church afterwards with the youth leader, got on my knees right at the front of the church. He put his hands on me and he says, now say this prayer after me. And the prayer was, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me for my sins, cleanse me and make me a Christian. I got up a Christian. Come on. Never been to Bible college. Didn't know a scripture. Didn't know a scripture. Knew a couple of hymns from school days, you know. Onward Christian soldier. I knew a couple of hymns, but I didn't know any. I didn't know how to pray. Didn't know. I knelt down a sinner and I got up. I touched him. I believed he wanted to save me and change me and wash my sin away and give to me the gift of eternal life. Oh, hallelujah. So I've proved that God touches you when you touch him. And it does not matter what is happening around you. You may say, it's all right for you, Pastor John, but you don't know what my husband's like. You ain't got a clue what he's like. The old crock I wake up to every morning. If you knew what he was like, he wouldn't be talking like that to me. Or some of you guys might be saying, it's all right for you, John. You don't have this nagging thing I've got. Every time I wake up, it's a nag, 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 nag. And you know, we can make all excuses. I've told you before, when I was a pastor, I had every excuse in the book come to me. I'd have people in my office saying they're not good Christians because of the husband or because of the wife. I had parents come and say, if it wasn't for our kids, we'd be real good Christians. True. I had kids come and say, Pastor John, if it wasn't for my parents, I'd be a good Christian. I've had all the excuses, but I even had somebody come to me once, this is true, and say to me, if it wasn't for my boss at work, I'd be a good Christian. I'm telling you, make all the excuses. Stop it. Stop it. What's happening in your life? What's happening in your circumstances? You can touch God no matter what. Amen. This woman pressed through a crowd of people who were inquisitive and spectators, in the midst of all the negative thought that the devil would be putting in her mind, in spite of what a physical body was telling her, get back home, you're going to collapse, you're going to faint, get back home. All of this would be up on, but she said, I'm going to touch him. And she did. Glory to God. And I've touched him many times. And this morning, he wants you to touch him. He wants you to do that. I know there's a lot of people here, so I know there's a lot of miracles here. How many people here, this is not an appeal, it's just a question. How many people in here would say to me, yeah, I've been praying for a miracle in this area. I really need a miracle. Just show me by your hands. This is not an appeal. Just want to see it. Hands up. Come on. Come on. Be honest. That's a lot of you. What a miracle. And when you stop praying about that miracle, the devil will start putting all sorts of things in your mind. Why you can't have it. Why you shouldn't have it. Theological reasons. Psychological reasons. Emotional reasons. All sorts of reasons. Stop listening to what the enemy says and listen to the word. I'm going to finish with this verse. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What an invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy. That woman was weary, wasn't she? She was heavy laden. But what did she do? She came to Jesus. There's a chorus that says, I came to Jesus as I was, weary and sick from sin. I came to Jesus as I was. How many people this morning would like me to pray for them for a miracle? I'm not going to pray for your miracle, because I want you to touch God yourself. What I do want to pray is that faith will rise within your heart. You see, this woman, over the years, when I've read this story, has caused faith to rise. I don't know where it started with her, how. But I know time and again, when I felt unworthy, I felt faith rise. And I've seen a miracle. And I've had to say, God, I'm amazed that you did that. But that's me talking. I just happened to touch you. That's all I did, by faith. If the people here, and this is how I want to pray, this is how I want to pray this morning. If you're saying, I want the tenacity. Yes. I want the determination to say, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. Do you understand that if you say that and I've got that, your miracle is secure? That woman said it when she was at home. The first time she said it, a miracle was secure. Are you with me? Come, do you see what I'm saying? She came and touched him. If that's you, and you would like a prayer for your faith to rise, I want you to get up from your seat and come and stand at the front so I can pray for you just now. We've got a few minutes left to be able to do this. If that's you, just come. If this word has touched you and you know God's spoken to you through it, then you come. If you need forgiveness, come. You can touch God for anything. People touch him because their sins are so big. People touch him because there's lust, hatred, unforgiveness, anger, all sorts of things. You could touch him. Come one step closer. Everybody come closer, because people are still coming out. Let's press in as close as we can. See, we're pressing in. But I'm praying right now that you're not spectators. Amen? You're not just inquisitive. And listen to this. You're not just saying, I'm going to go out to the front. I hope it works. Do you know? You've missed it. Don't ever mix up hope for faith. Hope never received a miracle. Thank God for hope. The human race moves on hope. You've got to have hope, but it is a foundation on which faith is built. You stand here by hope, and I'm glad you are, but you won't get your miracle. You've got to stand here by faith. You've got to turn that hope into faith this morning and start to believe that he is a miracle worker. Just look at me. Don't close your eyes yet. I want you to look. I want to see the whites of your eyes. I'm glad you've come to me instead of me coming to you. This guy can start to fire now. I want you to start to really believe in Jesus. I can't do anything for you, and I can't do anything for myself. But he can do everything for me, and he can do everything for you. All I am this morning is a mouthpiece. That's all. I'm just bringing God's word to you. It's not me. I can't do it. If you put your trust in me and think, if Pastor John lays his hands on me and touches me, I'll be... No, don't you think that. Please don't think that. I may lay my hands on you. I may touch you. But the touch that you need is a touch from him. And don't you touch me. You touch him. You touch Jesus. Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is your Lord. I'm going to start a prayer right now, but I just feel in my spirit, there's people there, sitting down still, who really ought to be here. You really ought to be here. And maybe you're not here because you're shy. Or maybe you're not here because you got real problems with your faith. Well, you definitely should be here then, shouldn't you? Don't sit down there. If you know that you need something from God and you want that kind of faith that breaks through, that's what we're praying for this morning. So before I pray, you've got time to come down. Come quickly right now. Come, don't hold back. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not bothered what people think of people coming out to free. It means nothing to me. If people come or don't come, that means nothing. It's God that counts. Amen. And if you're sitting there, not, I don't know you're not, because most of you are beautiful people. In fact, I love this church, by the way. Every time I come and preach in this church, I always feel like I'm coming home. Talked about home, didn't we? But you know, because a lot of you come from the Armadale days, and some of you, like say, from Giruin, and some of you maybe even from Geraldton. Yeah. So you know me. We're friends. So I know a lot of you are beautiful people. You're beautiful people. You're like me. You're beautiful. Because we love Jesus. Do you know what I mean? I'm not talking, no pride thing there. Just Jesus makes us shine. He does. But I just don't want any of you to miss out. So if some of you are there and you don't believe, if you're sitting there and you've got downright unbelief in your heart, well, you definitely need to get here. Because you need to get saved. You need your sins to be washed away. You need to be forgiven and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So you know who you're following. So I'll just give you a second or two more before. Thanks for those who just came. If anybody else needs to come, then I'm going to pray for you. Amen. For something good to happen. I'd like to come round and lay hands on every one of you. But we would be here then till 3 o'clock in the afternoon if we do. We're not going to do that. But just let me, I just want to keep looking at you because I want my faith to touch you, and I want you to touch me, and I want us both to touch Jesus. Amen. Amen. Good to see you. They're two favorite girls of mine from the old days. My girlfriends here. He loves you. He cares for you. And he wants to do something very special in your heart and life. He wants to do something special in your heart and life. Very special. Very special. It's your miracle. Break with protocol. Don't stay quarantined. Don't stay under a bushel. Don't. Shout out to him. You don't have to shout out to people, but you shout out to him. He hears you. He's the only one who really does hear you. So God is going to do something good in your heart and life. Just press in. Take it. Don't go back to the seat without it. Amen. Take it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Another dear friend of mine. Another one of my girlfriends here. Beautiful. Beautiful. Amen. Amen. Brother, something special for you is going to happen. Something good is going to happen for you. You've got quite a lot of the Word of God in you. You've read, you've studied, you know. You've got a foundation of God's word, which is good. But don't just use it philosophically. Use it as a foundation of life. It is your foundation. Don't because you know, sometimes we can fill ourselves with the good things of God, but then put them to one side and go on to other things. Don't do that. Stay with the word. Stay in the word, and God's going to do some wonderful things in your life. Because that foundation of the word that you've got is going to cause your life to blossom more and more every day. So press in and keep reading the word. keep reading. Don't be tempted to put it to one side. You keep reading it. It's God's word to you. I want everybody here to raise their hand to the Lord. Now we're reaching out. We're reaching to Him. Father, you see all these people now. Lovely people, Lord. You know all their needs. There's some here, Lord, that need an actual physical healing. There's some here, Lord, that need forgiveness. There's some people here, Lord, that need a miracle in their marriage. Some need a miracle with their children. Some people here, Lord, need a miracle in their finances. You know, Lord, lots of different faces and there's lots of different reasons. But we raise our hand to you, signifying, Jesus, if we could touch you, we will be healed. Jesus, if we could touch you, we will be healed. Jesus, if we can touch you, we will be healed. We reach out to you by faith. May faith rise within us, Lord. From that wonderful foundation of hope that we have, may our faith start to grow on that. May our faith start to reach out and touch you, Lord, like we've never touched you before. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we are touching you. And we know that as we touch you, Lord, you just automatically, that virtue flows from you into our lives. And so we reach out and we touch you in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for every person here. You know the doubts that come, the lies that come all around us. We're surrounded by the God of this world, the enemy, the devil, who's the father of lies. But Lord, what we have heard this morning may not have been eloquent, but we know we've heard truth because it's come from your word. And your word is truth. And it's a truth that sets us free. And I pray that every person here, Lord, will not just see this as another service, as another sermon, as another altar call, but this will be their altar call. This is their time to touch you. And may they not stop. May they not stop touching you till virtue flows into their lives. Virtue from above flows into their lives because you want that to happen, Lord. May that miraculous touch take place. And we will be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. Do you know what? Don't sit down yet. Do you know what I want us to do? I want everybody to just stand. Everybody stand out there. All stand with me. This will be a good way to start the new year. Starting it, and I know you've already done it, but starting it with a note of praise. Let's give God some praise and glory. I do not know what this year is going to bring. I don't know the future. I don't know tomorrow. I don't know the future. But I know who holds the future. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't come to me with your conspiracy theories. I'm not interested. I'm only interested in the pure word of God and Him who holds a future. I put my trust and confidence in Him. You're going to go into a world, all of you going into a world that's confused, distraught, fearful. You need to go with Jesus. I got one guy, a good friend of mine, all he's on is about these conspiracy theories of COVID. That's all he talks to me about. And I said to him, listen, I want to tell you something. I used to know you just a few months ago when all you could talk about was Jesus. I said, now you've changed for these stupid conspiracy theories. Let's get back to Jesus. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, when I came amongst you, I didn't want to know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Can I have a louder amen than that? Come on! Now, if I've offended some of you this morning by saying that about the conspiracy theory, good. I don't take it back. I believe we stand on the Word of God. I was born again on the Word of God. I live on the Word of God. And by the grace of God, I'll go to be with Him on the Word of God. It's the Word of God that counts. He's the God of this world. God is truly the God. Not the small g, the devil, says the whole world lies under the control of the evil one. We know that. But God's going to bring everything back under His control. So don't be afraid. So all I want you to do, All of you, even you who are very quiet. There's a lot of people here who are very shy like me and very quiet and not outspoken. What I want you to do is give a loud shout of praise for everything you've got. Just a 2 or 3 seconds of praise, well, more if you want, of praise. But praise him in your own words. Give praise to God. Give praise to Jesus in your own words. We're going to count to three, then we're going to let it rip. I want everybody shout as loud as you can the praises of God. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the name that is above every name. Our God is a good God, a gracious God, a kind God, a loving God, a heavenly God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory to the Lamb who was slain. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory. Oh, praise God. Hey, I feel a lot better after that, do you? And I tell you what, there's not a demon now within a mile of this place. They don't like you praising God. Can I tell you, they don't like it. So take your praises into your house. If there's any demons lurking in your house, go in praising God. They'll soon get out. Come on, they will. I tell you what has joined us just now, a whole bunch of angels. Just look at them. All these angels. They've joined us because we've lifted God high. Angels will always come where people are praising God from an open heart. Hallelujah. And if you didn't praise him out loud, shame on you. Do it when you get home, or do it in your car. If you're shy, if that's what it is. When you get in your car, start speaking in tongues. Start praising God for all that you've got. This is a good church. God's going to build on this church something powerful here in Gosnells. So may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, and grant you all his own sweet peace. Bless you. Thank you.